back to throw. Pocket collapsing. Steps. Is being chased. Let's a ball go for Jimmy Smith in the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Oh, take that! Take that!
The news about Jimmy Smith being inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars, that's awesome. He's very well deserving, and his story is incredibly motivating.
Oh, man, it gives me chills to hear you say that. Get my name on the stadium because it'll be there forever. Hopefully I have my grandkids' kids will be able to see that, but it just means a lot. I was talking to Fred Taylor this morning. He was the first to call to congratulate me.
I'm excited for Jimmy. I mean, he's waited on this. He deserves it. He's been patient. The fans have been, you know, waiting on it. Hopefully I don't shed a tear.
We can't wait to see you in December when you get down here. I'm sure, like you said, it hasn't even sunk in. You can't imagine what the emotions are going to be like on that day, huh?
I'm really frightened. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to cry.
Two receivers right, Jimmy to the left, Natron in the backfield. Mark at the line of scrimmage. Takes the count, takes the snap, turns, looking for Jimmy in the end zone. Touchdown, Jaguars! Touchdown, Jaguars! Touchdown, Jaguars!
Now I'm coming home again.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome aboard, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Second full week of Jaguars Today here in 2017, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Every Monday, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined here momentarily by John Osier from Jaguars.com. Is Mike Smith truly the front runner for the Jacksonville Jaguars job? Well, that's what some reporting would have you believe. And some reporting is usually accurate. Some reporting is not. You just going to have to wait and find out. But today's question of the day does play off the reports that Mike Smith is the front runner for this job. And it simply asks you to fill in the blank. If the Jaguars were to hire Mike Smith as their next full-time head coach, I would blank. And maybe I would I would be elated, or it could be I would be bored to tears, or it could be something in between. So share your thoughts with us on that. Good morning, John Osier. How was your weekend? Everything good?
It was fantastic, Mike.
Was it?
But I appreciate you asking. It was great.
Was it?
I mean, it was the first, first weekend sort of since that October post Tennessee.
Yeah, post Thursday Night Football.
That we had had. So I enjoyed it. It was fine.
Loved it. And 2 days off.
The wild card games weren't
They could have been better.
Yeah. I mean, my son went back to school this morning, and so we sort of watched the games. First time in a while we had a chance to kind of sit down and watch football, and I'd rather the fourth game we were like, eh. I mean, it was just, you know, I thought the Giants game was going to be a lot better, and, you know.
I thought they all would be a lot better. I would have lost $1,000. I said if I were in Vegas, I would have put $1,000 on Detroit plus +8. Going against Seattle,
yeah.
And forget it. They just couldn't do anything offensively.
Yeah, home game, turned it on. They've been there before.
That's why I don't bet on sports.
Yeah, it's probably good you stay away from that.
I guess it's like the strongest NFL hunch I've had in a while.
You're feeling a lot better this morning than you would have felt.
I don't come in with my hot plays of the week, my five-star locks of the week very often. I just felt really strongly about that one.
The Steelers game yesterday, it was one of those classics where a couple of plays go the other way, you know, ball security at the quarterback position. Yeah, you can't.
No doubt.
I mean, that's how playoff games that were really sort of close turn one-sided.
Yeah.
It's a couple of big plays.
Yeah.
So.
And, well, look, as long as Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are both healthy, Pittsburgh's never had that at the same time in the postseason before. They're a dangerous team. They whacked Kansas City pretty good earlier this year. They can certainly take care of them. I think most people feel that New England's going to cruise past Houston this weekend, whether they do or not.
I saw somewhere 16, 15.
Yeah, something like that. They thought it might go up to 18 and a half when it was all said and done.
That was the
projected
range.
That's
staggering.
Well,
that's Jaguars 96, right?
That's Brady rolling along with only two losses on the Patriots' resume all season long. You know, and they beat the Texans handily with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback earlier this year.
Yeah,
shut them out.
And, you know, they're such an experienced team, experienced quarterback, that you usually don't play below expectations in that situation.
Right.
they're probably not going to come out and lay an egg offensively.
For the Jaguars, we'll talk obviously about the head coaching search continuing right now. Reports are that they're done interviewing people, that they honed in on a defensive guy. Reports some, you know, depending on different reporting, most people seem to feel that Mike Smith is the front runner for this job. Makes logical sense. Doesn't mean it's 100% right, but we've discussed Smith is probably, if you're going to bet on one guy to emerge out of this pack of guys, he's as logical a pick as anyone.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy who's felt, you know, I hate to use this phrase, but has felt all along like he checked all the boxes. The experienced head coach, the success. You know, I've been saying all along, you know, most of the time that I've talked about this, I've said I thought that he would wind up getting the job, but it's not like I've been banging the table that it felt like a guarantee. It's just that if I was putting numbers, I would have said his chances are a 6 compared to Doug Marone's a 5, you know, in that. Not like Mike Smith's a 10 and everybody else is a 1.
Sure.
But it has felt all along, the connection with Caldwell, the 66-46 record, the success, it's felt for some reason like that's sort of what they're looking for, a guy who's done it, a guy who has shown he's done it. I'm aware that this, if this happens, wouldn't be a, oh, wow, dazzling guy hire. But so what? I think it'd be a good hire.
Yeah, well, I mean, we won't know if it's a dazzling hire until
he
coaches a few years.
So. Right, and dazzling is if you're winning and dud is if you're not.
Right, anyway, Mike Smith probably didn't dazzle too many people in Atlanta when he got hired.
And went 13-3 twice.
Right, I mean, so they won a bunch of football games. They'd never been to the playoffs back-to-back years. I think he took them there 4 or 5 times. So
you know. And that is kind of, you know, it's probably personal experience. This feels a bit like when I was in Indianapolis and they hired Tony Dungy right after Atlanta. A lot of success, not a lot of postseason success. Believe it or not, when Dungy was hired in Indianapolis, it was met with some lukewarmness publicly. Now, you know, many different dynamics. They had Peyton Manning, all that. I'm not saying this is that hire, but my experience tells me that what an initial reaction, a dazzling guy who's going to light up a press conference, isn't always, you know, what you need. And I think that would, you know, I would like this hire, put it that way.
All right, well, you know, I'll like it if he wins.
Sure.
Quite frankly. I mean, Mike's a great guy to work with, you know, from that standpoint. But most fans could care less about that, you know,
I agree.
Honestly.
Right.
And they should care less about that. They should care. Really, I don't think most fans care if they're even the coaches are difficult to get along with. You know,
I wouldn't,
they don't have to get
fan.
Along with them, right? They just have to
be entertained
or not be
the least important
entertained thing
on my priority list if I was a fan.
Far down.
Right.
Definitely far down.
And I've never worked with Mike. I think I've interviewed him once at the Senior Bowl. Everything I've heard about him is a terrific guy.
Very easy to work with when he was here as a defensive coordinator. Very accessible.
Right now, this morning, it sort of feels like that just from reading the reports and the sense I get. But until we get a text or an email saying it's official, then it ain't official.
It is not official. We know that.
How's that for insight,
Mike?
Don't worry.
We're not making you step outside of your box there at Jaguars.com.
If I knew something more, I would hint around at it, but I don't.
I understand. Right. I think we're all in the same boat right now. It makes logical sense. Maybe it'll be Mike Smith. Nobody's going to be surprised. I'm not going to be 100% shocked if it's not Mike Smith at this point in time. But how would you react to a Mike Smith hiring? That's the question of the day here on Jaguars Today. So you can weigh in at 641-1010 on that or any aspect of the Jaguars coaching search, Jaguar football, NFL playoffs, you name it. If that's to do with the Jags or the National Football League, bring it to the table again. 641-1010 on the phone lines. Also, the text line driven by Duval Ford. Social media wise, hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at John Osier, and the Jaguars Today Facebook page up and rolling as well. Happy Monday morning to you, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Brian Walters will be along a little bit later on. He's a free agent for the Jaguars, playing in a celebrity golf tournament down in Orlando this upcoming weekend. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but also get his thoughts on the way that the 2016 season went, not living up to expectations for the Jags, and his thoughts on a potential return to play more football here in Jacksonville. All that coming up and more. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Ozone in the house. John Osher here with us to kick off this Monday all week long. I think we've got somebody lined up every day. We got Logman tomorrow. Brent Martineau's coming in on Wednesday to opine with us.
Martineau?
Yeah, upgrade. Finally, got an upgrade. Chasing him.
He's a bad guy.
Is he? Just bad person.
But you worked with him, what, 2 years?
About a year and a half, something like that.
Well, then
like
you know.
That. Yeah, terrible guy.
I mean, he's got this nice guy. I mean, I get it. Let's move on.
Yeah, Martineau, in all actuality, Martineau is one of those people that there probably are people that dislike him, but I don't know anybody that does.
What?
Yeah, except you.
You're looking at one.
Well, other than you. And O'Halloran, who I assume dislikes everybody
yeah.
except for Hayes Carline.
Yeah, that's about right.
Right, that's his guy.
That's about right.
And that's it, and he's our guy now, 1010XL. This is the way it goes. Thursday, we'll have O'Halloran in. Friday, David Garrard. So full week. Here talking NFL playoffs, among other things, talking about the Jaguar coaching search. Jason Cole of Bleacher Report. Can't keep up with where guys work anymore these days, by the way, as a quick aside.
Well, Jason was at Lauderdale forever, and then Yahoo.
Yes.
And now Bleacher Report. Good reporter.
Yeah. He reported on, I want to say Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He put out a little item, a little audio item. And we just all listened to it. We checked it out over the weekend. But just to refresh ourselves, that a couple of head coaching candidates, according to Jason Cole, have expressed private reservations about the Jaguars' commitment to Blake Bortles. And as we were just sitting here discussing it a moment ago, it is reasonable to have some questions
Absolutely.
About Blake Bortles. I mean, what coach worth his salt wouldn't have some questions about Blake Bortles right now?
Yeah, I would guess very, very few candidates would come into the process without wanting to have a serious discussion. And now, have these candidates gone back and really poured through the film? You know, is there time to do that? I don't know, because you would think that the Jaguars would want somebody to say, okay, let's look at the entire body of work. Let's look at them in 2015, 2016, see what you think. Don't just go on what you've heard.
I don't know how you could, though. Like, if you're Josh McDaniels,
right. wouldn't
how could
time.
You have had time to do
Obviously
that?
Wouldn't have had time. So from that point of view, considering the numbers, considering the record, considering what happened this year, I would be shocked if any coach came in banging the table saying, absolutely, this is my guy. And I would be a little surprised if at least one wouldn't say it strongly enough of, you know, I don't know.
Right. If I have options, this may not be the spot for me.
Right.
Because at least in the short term, it looks like, look, they're going to. You're not going to have a mandate to play Bortles. That's
right.
What Dave Caldwell said. But what are your options going to
right.
be? And
but
how
that
aggressively
also doesn't
are they going
mean,
to look to bring in other options?
That also doesn't mean that there's not two or three who do believe it can work with. So considering the first 3 years, I'd be stunned if there wasn't a differing opinion. I said since day one, the discussion about Blake Bortles between Kahn, Caldwell, and the next head coach are the key discussions taking place about the job, and it'll be the most fascinating thing to hear once they decide on somebody. What is the groupthink, if you will, or the group decision, the direction going forward? What do you think? How confident are you? What will be the plan going forward? That's the obvious storyline about this whole thing.
Let's go to the phones for the first time this morning, 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osher here with you. Happy Monday. Jaguars today on 1010XL. Ronald on the north side going to lead us off this week. Hello, Ronald. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good morning. We're fine.
Mike Smith, he's kind of ho-hum. I mean, he's kind of like the safe bet. I mean, they took him out of Atlanta because he couldn't get over the hump, I'm assuming. He had, you know, 12 wins, but he just couldn't do it in the playoffs. Of course, he had Matty Ice, Ryan, he had a good quarterback. But, he, like I say, he doesn't draw up any excitement. But I don't know whether we need a big splash because Gus Bradley was a big splash, so to speak. And so, like I say, he's a safe bet. But if you're going to do Mike Smith, you might as well do Doug Marrone because I think back to how these players, I was taken back how they all complimented Gus Bradley, especially Ramsey, attributed so much to the guy, but they couldn't win for him. And so Doug Marrone still has that element, so to speak, if that's good or bad. But I think Mike Smith, like, he's so hum, he'll have to grow on people, I think. You're not going to get a, you know, everybody's with it. Kind of like what Dan Higgins said, 30 here, 30% there. But I guess he's a safe pick. But I would like Lane Kiffin. I think it's time for him to come back, at least as an offensive coordinator, you know, for the team, or maybe a head coach.
All right, Ronald. I don't think Lane's anywhere close to returning to the National
Football League. It's a roundhouse punch out of the blue.
I mean, look,
he took a job at FAU.
Yeah, he just got the job. He's not going to leave there and you know, take any. I don't think there's any clamoring for Lane Kiffin as a coordinator at the pro level at this point in time. I think he sees himself becoming a head coach either at the major college or pro level once again.
Which, considering his past success, wouldn't shock you if he rebuilt things for himself to that level.
No,
but I think it'll take some time.
For the Jags, for the present time,
yeah,
he's not a realistic option at this point in time. I do agree. Look, people have thrown
the coordinator hire is key with Mike.
Yes.
No question.
Mike McCoy's name has been thrown out there. I believe Vance Joseph, if I recall correctly reading this morning, who is said to be the leading candidate in the Broncos' mind.
Right,
they haven't interviewed him yet for the next Broncos head coaching job. Of course, played there, the defense coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. I thought it was interesting. Miami had – did I hear today they're talking about on the drill they gave the most points in team history this year? You know, it's so funny. You know, what qualifies you – I think it's when Boselli was on there discussing this, the head coaching position isn't necessarily about how good you are with X's and O's.
No.
It's about being the CEO of the whole – thing, and
they
that's
are
why you kind of want a
completely different jobs,
right? You want a guy with some experience this time around, doesn't have to learn on the job. At least I do. I think a lot of people feel that way. And Mike Smith checks that box in a big way.
Yeah, when one of the first conversations I had with Tony Dungy after he took the job in Indianapolis, we were talking about something, and it came up, and his point was that the coordinator and head coach position are so much different than most observers, even most media, realize, that the skill set needed for one has almost nothing to do with the skill set needed for the other,
right,
was his point. Now, that's a bit of an exaggeration. But being good at one does not make you good at the other.
I guess I kind of probably trailed off on that thought. Vance Joseph is said to have reached out to Mike McCoy. They may end up being a package deal wherever Vance Joseph ends up. So you may, even if you were to hire Mike Smith today, that doesn't mean that the top offensive coordinator candidate is going to fall right in the line, because that guy's going to have options as well.
And a lot of times, you know, it's not necessarily first come, first serve. A lot of times these guys have talked a lot over the years.
If I ever get the shot,
they have a good idea of directions. They've got a little cheat sheet of names written down of guys they like, and it's not necessarily who we all think would be the first guy in line, so to speak.
Let's get back to the phones. David and Oakleaf next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing great.
I'm fine with Mike Smith. Either him or Josh McDaniels is who I'd go with. But what I want to talk to you more than that is about Tom Coughlin. Now, I read on SB Nation that they brought Tom in for an interview, and Shad Khan met with him personally. And when he met with him, he asked Dave Caldwell to leave the room. Now, if that's true, do we read into that and say, well, maybe they're going to bring Tom in to take Dave Caldwell's place? And I would definitely be in favor of that. I think it's foolish to absolutely not hire a person with Tom's knowledge and caliber and proven football knowledge. And he also has the rings to back it up. And it's ridiculous not to hire him in some capacity when he wants to be here. So I appreciate your comments, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. A, we don't know that he wants to be here. I mean, we don't know that he, you know, we put a lot of projections into Tom Coughlin's head. Hey, wouldn't it make sense to return to the scene of the crime, so to speak? And what a cool way that would be to wrap up your NFL coaching
career. Fantastic
thing
to talk about.
And maybe, that may be the fact. But at the same time, Tom Coughlin had his biggest success in New York, winning Super Bowls, when he had the personnel decisions taken right. away from him, right? So to say he's going to replace Dave Caldwell, he's going to the Hall of Fame on his coaching resume, not on his acumen of putting together a roster. Now, he did a great job in the initial couple of years stocking this franchise with talent. There's no question about that. Tom Coughlin missed on a boatload of draft picks along the way here in Jacksonville. And for me personally, I'm not that interested in hiring Tom Coughlin to run the front office. I don't know that he's, you know, I don't know that he's the right guy to do that. You talk about a guy, if you believe in Dave Caldwell, which I think that Shad Khan does, to me it's one thing to say, hey, let's hire Tom Coughlin as a coach. Maybe we only get 4 years and we kind of nurture the next guy on his coaching staff. I don't see it that way with the front office. I want a long-term vision in the front office, and I don't want a short timer in the job. Now, maybe he'd be more inclined to stay in a job like that than he would on the sidelines. I don't know. I don't know what his real interest level is in doing that anyway.
It certainly seems from the events of the past week that David Caldwell is very involved making the head coaching decision.
Hey, by the way, did you hear that? I didn't hear that about Shad asking Dave to leave the room.
I've not heard that. My understanding was that they met with Tom in the last week of the regular season when Caldwell was here.
Right.
But I didn't hear about a dramatic, hey, leave the room. That's the first I've heard about that. So I don't know that to be fact at all.
Right.
So, but I'm kind of with you. The gut instinct, it's hard for me to see Tom not on the sidelines. That's where he's a Hall of Famer. That's where every skill set that I know of him, which is the manic work ethic, attention to detail, all that stuff that made him a great head coach, that's where I see him. Now, that's not to say he couldn't do a front office job just as well, but when you're hiring him, it feels like that's what you're bringing to the table and that's what you want your home run swing to be, is that element of him, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'd be shocked beyond belief if right now they announce, oh, by the way, Dave Caldwell's out, Tom Coughlin's in charge of the front office now.
If they were going to do that, it feels like it would already be done.
Right, because that would happen, you would presume, before any coach was hired. You're not going to, you know, because that coach wants to know who he's working under. In those circumstances, I just don't.
It feels like that yacht has sailed.
I don't think that's good.
No,
I don't think it's very plausible.
No,
at this point in time, for that to happen. Let's get Nick in Pittsburgh checking in next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Nick.
How's it going, Mike?
Going well. What's up?
I was going to talk about the coaching. First of all, with Tom Coughlin, I think we only get about 4 years maybe with him. I like the Mike Smith move. You know, I'm excited for next year. I'm hoping, like, if Mike Smith does get hired, you know, I'm hoping for a better record, which everybody else hopes for a better record and stuff. And, I mean, I hope Blake Bortles can fix what he struggled this year. Hopefully this offseason he can find a way to say, hey, you know, what did I screw up this year? And one other thing is my birthday's this Thursday, so I just wanted to – I enjoy the show. I just want to say my birthday's.
He just gave himself a shout-out is what he did. All right, Nick, happy early birthday. Thank you very much for listening. And how about that? Most people don't call to give themselves a pre-early birthday shout-out.
Just FYI, mine's in July. Mike.
July, yeah, okay. So. Any specific date in July?
I'd rather keep it myself.
That's fair. I'm kind of funny about that whole birthday thing, too. Right. Myself, so
no
I
kidding.
Understand that.
But I'll let you know as he gets closer. How
all
about
right.
that?
Good. So, good to know. Yeah, please do.
I'll text you.
Yeah, text me at least 3 days in advance so we can
give
you the day off or come in, whatever you prefer on that given day. Unless it falls like on a weekend, then you're
it's
on
either.
Your
I'm not even sure when it is this year.
All right, 641-1010 if you want to wait. Look, we all hope that there's some obvious things, I think. Blake Bortles, whoever the quarterback is, you want the quarterback to play well, and it's likely going to be Blake Bortles to start the season. Likely. Doesn't mean it'll stay that way.
Yeah.
His leash, so to speak, on the job is not that long. It's certainly not as long as it used to be. But, you know, as long as Dave Caldwell's in there, I do think it's an interesting dynamic. I don't think we'll ever truly know just how much Blake has a foot in the job. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
In the sense that, like, Dave talked about Gus Bradley. And he said right up until the point we were eliminated, we thought we were going to get on a roll.
Right.
And to me, that's some wishful thinking that was going on right there, right? And that logic, I looked at this team and I said, great, I see that they're in a lot of close games, but to think that all of a sudden they're going to start winning them all, right, it was unrealistic. And I think that, to me, was Dave hoping for a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy of, this is the guy I thought would do it. I still believe, I can't believe it's gone this badly. I don't want him to cling
right
to Blake Bortles like that if it reaches a point of obviousness. For some people, it already has. But if it reaches a point where it's like, you know, this is just not working, I think that's the fear. Does he encourage or demand, and he'll say he wouldn't because he's already said there'd be no mandate, but encourage the next coaching staff to stick with Blake
right
longer than he should?
Yeah, and again, that's why I've continued to say the real conversations that will take place before somebody is hired for the job, the head coach, GM, owner, conversations that have taken place, whenever they circle back, whatever preliminary stuff they've done, that's the time to talk it out before you're in the building and say, look, I believe in this guy to this point, but we have to bring somebody in. We have to commit to bringing somebody in to this level. What level, and you've talked about it a lot, what level of competition do you bring in for Blake? Is it Tyrod Taylor expense? Is it A.J. McCarron expense? Are you going that route? Are you doing Cutler? That's what has to be really determined right now. Now, it doesn't guarantee you're going to get what you go after, of course. But that head coach, before he's in the building, needs to make clear what he expects from the quarterback position, what his thought is. And I think collectively that will be the team thought going forward, if you will.
Here's what I expect. I expect it's time to take a break right now and pay the bills. As we're brought to you on Mondays by Wild West Guns and Gold, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier here with you. Jaguars Today continues along at the top of the hour. Brian Walters, it's still currently a Jag. Technically, he's a free agent now coming up.
Hey, he's a Jag until, what, March 9th?
Until he signs to somebody else.
If he's a Jag until he's not.
Somebody else. Yes.
I heard that.
Currently a Jag, but slated to become a free agent this offseason. We'll talk about the 2016 season, where it went wrong for the Jags. Also playing in a pretty star-studded celebrity golf tournament down in Orlando that will be televised on the Golf Channel coming up this weekend. So we'll talk about that as we go along as well. Take more of your calls at 641-1010. And you can also check in on the text line driven by Duval Ford at the same number. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Dave Caldwell just stopped by. That's not a bit. He did just stop by.
He did.
A second ago.
He looked like a guy that hasn't started vacation yet. Like it's
Friday and he's like getting ready to go?
No, like he's working.
Hadn't slept in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't wearing a suit or anything like that.
No.
Just,
I mean, he's wearing what he wears around the building.
It's pretty chill around these parts in January.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. We need to be in game preparation mode. We need to be talking about how we spent the bye week and how we're going to prepare for this team
I thought you meant chill.
Chill. It's pretty chill around here, yes, in January.
Oh, you're using like a cool street guy.
Don't you think it's chill in January?
Yeah, all right. I thought you just meant the weather.
It's kind of the attitude. It's that as well. We asked him all the questions you would expect us to ask him. He answered none of them, as you would expect him to do. Who's it going to be? I don't even think he opened his mouth on that one.
Nah.
Nope.
Might have said, we'll see on that. Yes, we will, Dave, but you're the one who's going to have a big
feels good about the process.
Does feel good about the process. Asked him if he was done yet interviewing everybody. Said, not necessarily.
Right.
He thinks whoever they hire will be the best guy to win in the short term and the long term.
Right.
And
so there you have it.
Right. Which you would hope you would say about anyone you hired, right? Although not necessarily. Like the last time around,
we knew the goal wasn't
short term success.
Right.
And you can debate whether that was the right thing to do in hindsight 4 years later or not, but it certainly didn't produce a lot of wins over a 4 year period.
No.
Dave said he's happy. They have several strong candidates, in his opinion.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be a case. Just, again, we talked to him for a minute, and it's not going to be a case. It doesn't seem sound like he feels like he's going to have to settle. He feels like, you know, we got a pretty good pool here, and
right.
Hopefully we get the guy.
He's probably looking forward to getting some sleep.
He might. Might be, although he did say he would come in and chat with us after the
Absolutely.
Process is all done. So they've always been great about that.
Really, and the question is, when will the process be done?
Don't know.
Will he be talking to you at 1 p.m.?
Could it be 1 p.m.
to you
this afternoon? It didn't. Well, put it this way. Based on the
imminent.
Attire and the lack of alacrity which he was moving through the hallways, I don't think it's happening by 1 o'clock today.
Yeah, he's not rushing around getting ready for a presser.
No, he is not. He's not going to meet someone at the airport or do any of those
And
things.
Now we have analyzed a 30-second conversation for 5 minutes.
It's what we got.
That's right.
Right? It's
like
what
that.
We've got. I do appreciate that the GM can pop in. Oh, look, I no bones about it. I like Dave Caldwell as a
Absolutely.
Guy. He's a great guy, you know, but he's got to win.
Sure.
You know, he's got to win. It's an awkward position to be in when you like the guy you cover and you want him to have success, but at the same time, you got to point out the missteps and the failures.
Absolutely.
Along with the, and there have been more of those, unfortunately, than the successes, because the ultimate barometer is the one loss record.
Yeah, they got to win in 2017.
They
he
do
knows
need
that
to win
everybody
it,
knows.
Right. And he, that was the sense you got,
sure.
Like, hey, we get it. We got to, you know, win. He also, he added, and the long term too. Yeah, but he
right.
knows
yeah.
winning in the short term is paramount. For this football
that's
team,
where you're
for this
at.
Organization.
After 4 years, that's where you're at.
Let's see. Let's get Vicky on the south side, who's been hanging on for a little while here at 641-1010. Good morning, Vicky. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. What's up?
Okay, here's my question. I don't know much about Mike Smith, except is he a disciplinarian? I would like to have a coach, whoever it is, come in with a little bit more structure, maybe a tough love kind of approach for some of our younger players. So are any of those names floating around out there, are any of them disciplinarians? I know Tom Coughlin was, but I don't know much about the others.
Great. Okay, Vicky, that's a very good question, I think. And I do think whether it's – I don't want to say Gus had no lack of discipline. I think there's a little bit in the realm of accountability, you know, and – we've heard players talk about the focus just in the last few weeks under Doug Marrone on focusing on the word win,
right.
win, and that being the end goal. That doesn't mean you lack discipline. I just thought Gus had more of a holistic, new age type approach
yeah.
to coaching. And you know what? It may work somewhere else at another time. It could have worked here, perhaps, had circumstances fallen differently. They didn't, okay?
Right.
Is Mike Smith the guy who's going to come in and – scream in everybody's face every single day as opposed to, you know, pat you on the back? And I don't think he's that, John.
Right.
How did you describe him a minute ago on the break to us?
You know, I don't think he's going to put up with a lot of BS.
He's a hard-nosed football coach, right?
But
he's not necessarily a screaming, freaking taskmaster.
Right, I don't see him out here chasing guys with a whip in the hallway. You know, I mean, he's not that guy. I don't think. I've only been around him again. I know people who have worked around him. He strikes you as he's not going to be a fire and brimstone, spit in your face guy. But I think he's a professional football coach who knows what needs to be done. And I think when he's in the building, players will know exactly what's expected of him.
Right.
And that, it sounds kind of mealy mouth because, again, I haven't been in the same building with him, so I don't know exactly how
he is on
that
front. That's
a big
deal to players.
Yeah.
That you can. You can discipline me. You can treat me harshly as long as you're fair. As long as you say, here's the parameter.
Right.
Steps 1, 2, and 3. And if I'm not doing them and I'm getting reamed out,
right.
I've yet to meet the player. Well, I'm sure most players don't enjoy being reamed out. But you get what I'm saying. As long as the coach is up front with them about it and doesn't tell them one thing and act differently. You know,
right.
Just be a straight shooter.
And that's
straight
my
shoe.
Impression. The man.
I
could be completely
wrong.
I
think so too. And right. As far as
that's
being
kind of
a hardcore disciplinarian, I don't know enough about that. You know, a lot of that takes place. I mean, we know Tom Coughlin because he was so over the top as a disciplinarian.
Right.
You don't see that much anymore.
I don't think any of the other five guys, you know, Smith and Marrone seem sort of similar on that front. You know, I think Doug seemed very pointed in talking about that some, but it sort of feels like Smith and Marrone on that front are relatively similar. That's just my gut feeling on it.
Here was Malik Jackson last week. He's on Midday Chalk. He was on all throughout the season on Tuesdays with the guys. And he was asked what he would look for in an ideal head coach.
I would describe a head coach as the face of the organization, somebody who leads us, somebody who I guess we embody their whole attitude. Like, I guess Marone, for example, mm-hmm. you know, we embody his attitude, you know, the way he talks, the way he acts. Somebody that gets us going, allows us to be who we are, and he allows us, his coaches, to coach. You know, I think he's somebody that walks around and, you know, I guess I asked John Fox, I said, how does he see us, you know, when I was in Denver? And he said he sees us as being, he's our big brother. And I think that's what a good coach is somebody that understands, you know, you're not our dad, you know, but we look up to you.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty standard CEO. There, I think. Say what?
CEO. Yeah. I mean, there's an element of setting the tone, leadership, CEO of the head coach that is paramount in the NFL. You have to be good at that.
Let me ask you, because Duval Doom just tweeted, the penalties and actions of the players indicated the lack of discipline, not the lack of saying win. Although it's a different, it's a just a different focus, and maybe that wasn't the best example for me to use when talking about discipline.
Right.
But do you think that was a lack of? We saw players with personal foul penalties, you know, seemingly lose their mind. Gus Bradley didn't always, you know, get in their face when they came right off the field, things like that. Do you think that was indicative of a lack of discipline?
This year, there was more of that than there had been in the past.
Right.
And certainly, I think that was an area that could have been better this year. I don't think it necessarily cost them a whole lot of games. I mean, that was the biggest reason that they were 3-13. I mean, was that the record, 3-13?
Yes.
You know, so...
I know, we all try to blot
yeah, I'm trying to out. Right. So, but yeah, I think that was there more this year than it had been in the past. And in even late, in the second half of the Colts game, it sort of bit him again. It was a season-long thing, and it's got to you would think the reset button in the offseason would help that along quickly.
All right, let's take a time out here. Brian Walters of the Jaguars is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk about 2016, what went right, what went wrong for Walters. What would he like to see in an incoming head coach here in Jacksonville, provided he's back or not, just giving some advice for the organization that he's played for the last couple of years. Also talk about the golf tournament he's going to play in this weekend down in Orlando, which I believe tickets are probably available for. It's going to be shown on the Golf Channel, and some really big-name A-list sports celebrities will be playing in it, and we'll discuss that and more coming up with
Hacker.
Brian Walters. They're not that big. They couldn't land him. He was spoken for.
Do they know about After Dark?
Yeah, that I think that's kind of what, you know, he.
That's kind of the X factor,
right? He wanted to do a live show from there, from his golf cart and the whole thing, and it just became too much of a thing.
All right, well,
too much of a thing. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday with John Osher, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
It's time for a change on Jaguars Today. Let's welcome our next guest to the Haviland Express Lube hot seat. Haviland Express Lube, fast, friendly service.
All right, Jaguars Today rolls on. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osher here with you, Tony. I would much prefer to be preparing to ask Brian Walters about how they plan to knock off the hated New England Patriots this week in the next round of the NFL playoffs. But instead, we're talking about what he's doing with his already way too early offseason. And we'll look back on 2016 as well. As Jaguar wide receiver Brian Walters joins us this morning. Happy New Year, Brian. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
No problem, but I'm sure you as well would rather be sitting here discussing your plans to get ready to take on whoever the opponent would be in the next round of the NFL playoffs. Did you think that kind of was where you guys were headed this year? How big of a goal did the team set or the players set in that locker room? What was discussed before the season on how big a year you thought you could have?
Well, you know, we thought the sky was the limit for us going into this year. We had extremely high expectations, and you know, we knew we had a lot of talent, and just needed to get it done. And unfortunately, we're sitting at home watching all these games, and that's the worst part, is seeing all these teams, and it kills me to watch these games. But you know, it is what it is. The NFL, you know, there's only 12 teams that make it, and just gotta keep improving from what we did, and hopefully next year, you know, we got this, you know. I know last year it wasn't really an expectation, right, to make the playoffs. It always is internally. There was no, like, outside buzz about the Jaguars
right.
to make the playoffs. But this year it was totally different. You know, this year everyone you know, thought we had a chance to shock some people, you know, be what the Panthers were last year, and you know, just unfortunately we couldn't get that done.
Obviously, it's going to be a very newsy offseason here in Jacksonville. We all know there's going to be a new head coach. We'll see what happens with the staff, free agency, draft, all that stuff coming up. How much do you pay attention to the kind of news around the team once you get into the offseason, Brian?
I try to get away from it for a little bit, especially this first month out. You know, you got to get everything else together. You know, the season's a big grind, and it's nice to step away. But, you know, I'm definitely – you know, on Twitter and all that stuff, I hear the news just like everyone else, and you know, hear all the reports of potential hires and all that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
For you, you know, you talk like you want to be back here. You're a free agent coming up here. Have there been any discussions with the front office and your representation as to what their plans are? Do they see you as part of their plans, and would you like to be back here?
Yeah, I'd like to be back here. You know, I've really enjoyed my time here the last 2 years in Jacksonville, and you know, you can't beat the. I like being in a warm weather place. I've been in a warm weather place before, and it's so nice. We get. I don't think we had a cold game in the last 2 years, which is pretty crazy. But I've really liked it in Jacksonville. You know, made it a second home, and it's. Of course, I would like to be back, but you know, everything has fallen into place, all the pieces, and you know, I know they're dealing with all the coaching things right now, so I'm not expecting to talk to them anytime soon. But we got some time. I think what free agency starts in March, and
right,
so it'll be interesting.
What do you want in a head coach, Brian?
What does this team need?
Right,
it's
something we've been talking about for a while here, and the players got a better perspective on it than we do. You know, what do you need? What do you want from a head coach?
You know, you guys might laugh when I say this, but like, I think we were so close with Gus, and you know, you guys might think that's crazy because we were what 2-13 or whatever, but you know, we all really really liked Gus and you know enjoyed playing for him, but there was just something missing. I don't know if it was something on game day that just didn't click for us, and I think. Coming to the next coach, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different opinions on what we need and all that stuff, but I think maybe someone who, I don't know, maybe a little more of a hard ass, if that makes sense, really gets on guys, maybe a little more discipline. I don't know. There's a lot of things, but there's a lot of different coaching formulas that work around the league. You know, you go up to where I was in Seattle and Pete Carroll, and that was a lot like what we had here in Gus, and then, you know, there's guys like Bill Belichick and stuff that's totally opposite. So there's just a lot of formulas, and I don't think there's one that will work.
Brian Walters here with us on Jaguars Today. Brian, for you personally, were you happy with the production you've gotten? You certainly, over the last 2 years, had the most production as a wide receiver that you've ever seen in the National Football League. Did you like the way you saw your role grow over the last couple of seasons?
It was good. You know, it was fun to, it's always nice to get on the field and get the, you know, cause I haven't had that opportunity a lot in my career. You know, Seattle is more of just a punt returner. And then, so to come here and, you know, be able to get on the field, was definitely, a stepping stone for my career. But, you know, I'd like to see, there's something to be said about knowing you're going to be out on the field every day and every Sunday and getting all the reps and all that, and you kind of get in the flow of things, and it makes the game so much more fun and so much easier, and it slows down, and that's kind of you know, that's kind of the goal going into next year too, to have that role and keep performing.
It felt like maybe Blake found a little bit of something, a little more rhythm late in the season than he did early. I know you were playing a lot more late, so you may have had a closer seat to everything that was going on with that too, but did you guys kind of feel that as well in that locker room, that it felt like, not that he was back to being the guy that he was last year, but he was taking steps in that direction at the end of the season?
Yeah, absolutely. Blake was playing with a lot of confidence at the end of the year. And most importantly, I think he was eliminating that one play a game, you know, that kind of was the backbreaker, which was big for us. And but he started making, you know, some big time throws, and I know completion percentage went up, and I was making reads, going through progressions like we know he can. He really stepped up there late in the year.
All right, we got Brian Walters here with us. He just told us a few moments ago, Tony, that he tries to get his away from thinking about football the first few weeks of the offseason. So what have we done? We've dragged him into the discussion of the 2016 season. So Brian, we appreciate the fact that you're a good sport about that, but we know you're a big fan of playing golf. I saw you you might not even realize this. I saw you with Coach Robert Sala down in Daytona at LPGA International over the summer, and you guys were playing, and I talked to him like the next day. He's like, yeah. He goes, Walters makes me play from the tips. He hits it a mile, and just talked about really how good of a golfer you are. So can you back that up? I mean, you're playing in this Diamond Resorts Invitational Celebrity Golf Tournament. It's going to be broadcast on the Golf Channel coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Are you ready for your star turn in the spotlight here?
I'm getting ready. I'm as ready as I can be after 6 months of football, that's for sure. But it's really fun. I was able to do this last year, and honestly, I don't want to be able to do this tournament. I would love it if I could call and be like, "Hey, sorry, you know, playoff game, can't play." But this is the next best thing, and you get down in Orlando, and just so many cool people come down and play. And I think it should be a pretty big deal this year. They got Champions Tour players as well, so I think there's 70, 80 guys in the field, and so there'll be Champions Tour and celebrities. And last year, I played with guys like Greg Maddux and Kevin Millar. I was able to talk with like Reggie Jackson a lot. So it's really a cool deal. But the golf game, we'll see. That's always a big question mark.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at some of the celebrities that are listed here. Marcus Allen, you mentioned some of those Braves guys. Maddux, Glavine, and Smoltz all expected to play. Some senior tour, over 50 guys like John Daly and Mark Calcavecchia, Roger Clemens, Gaylord Perry, Reggie Jackson, among others, including yourself. What is it, just a straight stroke play format, or is there a little twist to it? What's the format here?
No, there's a little twist. They do the Champions Tour will do their normal format. Stroke play, that kind of thing. But with the celebrities, they do it's called Stableford. And, you know, you can't take anything more than double bogey on a hole. And I think it's like double bogey's -2 or something. I could be wrong on that. I think it's -2 points. Bogey, I think, is no points. Par is +1, and then birdie's +3, I want to say.
Right, and you're playing for points, sure. We've seen those tournaments. Points. Absolutely.
Yeah, so you're playing for points and just trying to add on the points, and it's good because it takes away that that big like 10 you could put up on a hole, a big blow up hole you could have, especially not playing for a while. So it's a very good format for me, that's for sure.
Well, give folks some details. Are there still tickets available? As far as you know, this is down in Orlando at the Diamond Resorts. Where can folks find out more if they want to maybe come down and watch some of you guys this weekend?
Yeah, of course. There's lots of tickets. I don't know about lots, but yeah, there's lots of tickets are available, and it's down there at the I don't even know if I say this right. Tranquillo Golf Resort down at Four Seasons in Orlando. Friday through Sunday, all day there'll be tee times going, and it's just a really good time, really good event. When you drive up to this place, or at least last year too. I mean, it looks like a PGA event. There's grandstands up and tents all over the place, and they do a really, really good job with it. And it's just fun to, see all these different guys playing golf and all the different swings out there. You know, you can't expect to see a lot of good golf like you're going to in a PGA event, but it makes for a little more of an entertainment factor.
Hey, who is the best golfer in the Jaguars locker room right now?
I'll take that one.
Other than yourself.
Other than myself, okay. That's a great question. It's close. There's a close battle for that position. I would say Chad Henne is pretty decent. Blake's is going to put some effort into it this offseason. So we'll see where he can get to. There's a few linemen. I know Jokel's a good player. Luke Bowinko, and there's a battle for that second place. We'd have a good tournament for that.
As long as they're battling for second place,
I guess,
right?
So. Do you feel like you're having to carry the banner for those guys, or are they talking any smack knowing that you're playing in this tournament?
No, they wouldn't talk smack to me. They'd be the first to admit that that I have their number in golf right now.
They know better. They know better. All right, Brian. We'll find out. Look, we'd love to see you back. It's been fun watching you the last couple of years provide some sure-handedness on some key third downs and the like. So if the fates align, we'd love to see you back here in Jacksonville. But regardless, we hope you have a successful offseason, find your next destination to play some more NFL football, and have fun with it this weekend, man. And if you are back here in Jacksonville, just know that everybody demands nothing short of 13 wins in 2017.
I love it. See, and
thank you, bud. Hey, listen, hit him well this weekend. It sounds like you will, and hopefully we'll talk to you when you get back here in Jax.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. There he goes, Brian Walters. So he's playing. It's Tranquilo Golf Club at Four Seasons this weekend. So you can Google that if you want to go down and check it out. It does actually sound like a pretty star-studded affair, or you could just tune in on the Golf Channel. They'll be televising it live from the Four Seasons in Orlando this weekend. Sure, probably... The rabbit-eared antenna ears out there. The one thing people heard in that was Blake's going to be playing a lot of golf this offseason. That is not.
That was
what,
basically a 5-second interview.
Right. Brian Walters did not intend to throw Blake under the bus, but I guarantee you that is going to be the biggest social media feedback we get off that is, oh, so Blake's going to be. No wonder Jokul can't block anybody. He's out there playing golf. Right. His handicap's too low to be blocking anybody. So Brian Walters trying to be a good guy. Open the door, I think, for the haters out there. It is what it is. He can't. Apparently, he hits an absolute mile.
Right?
An absolute mile.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
And he's, you know.
All these guys are pretty good athletes. I'm finding out.
Yeah.
But even within that realm. But backup quarterback, no surprise. When he went to Henny, I'm like, okay, no
sure.
doubt. Backup quarterback's always good. Usually the specialists, the kickers and the punters, are the guys you
right.
go to there. I have a feeling Nortman's probably a pretty good golfer.
You would think.
I would think, just because, you know, he seems like a good all-around athlete, and those specialists have all the time to work on their short game.
Scobie was.
Like
I know Scobie was.
Scobie certainly spent plenty of time sure. on the driving range as far as that went. And there you have it. Brian Walters playing golf this
good
weekend
guy.
On the Golf Channel. We'll come back to State and Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. If you'd like to react to anything Brian had to say, I say, you know what? Honestly, maybe the more news you think, said we need a hard ass. That's what we need.
Yeah.
That's what this team needs to come in and coach them. And I think that speaks to what we're talking about. You know, Gus, a little too happy-go-lucky, as it turned out. You know, and we often pointed to this. Pete Carroll was successful
right.
with that formula in Seattle. Different group of players, you know.
This year, once it got to its fourth season and it wasn't producing wins, then – whenever that happens, you get a feeling of, well, we need to move away from that.
Right.
And it's got to go towards
something
else.
Pendulum has to swing to the other
yeah.
side to
so,
give it a try.
I didn't get that feeling for the first 3 years of it. You did get that feeling in the last one, because at some point the shelf life is over.
All right, we'll come back to State and Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, all kinds of things happen on this date in football history, January 9th through the years. Let us begin in 1962. The NFL prohibited something on this date in 1962. You know what that was? What they prohibited.
I do, because I read the email, too, so I'll let John guess.
Oh, it was in an email?
Yeah.
I did not read the email. John, what did they prohibit on this date in 1962?
Email, maybe.
No, the grabbing of face masks.
Yeah.
Face masks
became right.
a penalty
yeah.
on before that. You know, that's you always hear about... This isn't the game. This is the way football was meant to be played. Well, accordingly, football apparently was meant to be played by allowing people to clothesline each other in the neck, grab the face mask. There are all kinds of things that were legal at one point. And when I hear people saying, you know, oh, you're not allowed to spear anybody with your helmet anymore, you're turning them into a league of sissies. At some point, somebody said the exact same thing about clotheslining someone
sure,
in the
right.
throat. Right? I mean, you know, what is this league coming to when
yeah.
you can't hit a guy in the throat to tackle him
the
anymore?
The shot Jordy Nelson took yesterday that put him out of the game, the first time they replayed it, I was like, should have been a flag. Like, the first time they showed it, I was like, you can't go with the top of your helmet into any part of anybody. Like, that's what they're trying to get out of the game. It should have been a flag. Obviously, they didn't throw it. Now, there was the much more egregious foul earlier in the day on Bud Dupree
right.
on the hit on Matt Moore. Right. But those are the types of plays that they don't want in the game is guys coming in with their heads down, leading with the crown of their helmet. They don't want it anymore because it's dangerous not only for the guy getting hit but for the guy doing the hitting to come in that out of control.
This date in 1967, the New Orleans Saints franchise adopted the name Saints. They were just coming into the league. And this date 10 years later, 1977, it was Super Bowl 11, the Oakland Raiders knocking off the Minnesota Vikings 32-14 in Pasadena, California. Fred Biletnikoff, the Super Bowl MVP that time around. Famous birthdays for this date. You may have heard of Bart Starr before, yeah. right? Bart Starr born on this date in 1934. He is, of course, a former 17th-round pick of the Green Bay Packers in 1954. Went on to become a four-time Pro Bowler, one-time first-team All-Pro, the 1966 NFL MVP, and a two-time Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowls 1 and 2, a member of the All-1960s team, Hall of Fame inductee as a player in 1977. I mentioned as a player because he spent 9 years yep. as the coach of the Packers, six of those as the GM of the Packers. His record not so good in those capacities. 52-76-3 as a coach in those 9 years, and the GM record not so stellar either. Born in the state in 1978, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, six-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro. He turned 39 years old today. Former Jaguar John Henderson, born in the state, the ninth overall pick in 2002 by Tom Coughlin's Jacksonville Jaguars. Big Hen, 38 years old today and a two-time Pro Bowler in his own right. Then the bittersweet, born on the same date in 1990, Justin Blackman. Fifth overall pick of the 2012 draft by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Had cumulative stats of about 93 catches, 1,200 yards, six touchdowns. A very good season's worth yep. For Justin Blackman, but looks like his interest level of playing in the National Football League faded a while ago. And then finally, born in this date in 1993, Kansas City's two-time Pro Bowler already at the age of 24, Marcus Peters, 14 interceptions his first 2 years in the league. And that is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The divisional round playoff matchups are set after four lopsided games during wildcard weekend. It will get started on Saturday in Atlanta when Seattle comes to town in a rematch of a very good 2012 NFL playoff game. On Saturday night, Houston will be at New England. Sunday gets started with Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger injured his ankle on the next-to-last snap against the Dolphins yesterday. Was seen in the locker room wearing a boot on his foot. Big Ben says that he will be good to go on Sunday against Kansas City. Then in the Sunday late game, Green Bay will be in Dallas. Dallas is the one seed at 13-3. Handled Green Bay pretty easily in October, 30-14, but they were facing a different Aaron Rodgers back then. Rodgers hasn't thrown an interception since November 13th. He has 22 passing touchdowns since then, including three straight games, including yesterday's blowout win over the Giants with four touchdown passes and no interceptions. Odell Beckham Jr. handled the Giants' loss about the way that I expected he would. Beckham had dropped seven passes in the regular season, but dropped three yesterday, one that would have been a touchdown in the first quarter for New York. After the game, Beckham allegedly punched a hole in the wall of the visitors' locker room at Lambeau Field in frustration, an incident the league is looking into. And Pittsburgh Steelers linebackers coach Joey Porter was arrested outside of a Pittsburgh bar last night. Porter was taken to the Allegheny County Jail and charged with aggravated assault, simple assault, resisting arrest, public drunkenness, and disorderly conduct. Police were called, quote, due to an unruly customer who was in the process of assaulting the doorman at a bar in Pittsburgh.
Oh, is that all? You know, come on, you can't keep Joey Porter around, can you? If you're one of your assistant coaches gets arrested on a litany of anything, can you keep him around?
It's a bad look, Mike.
He better be a really, really important guy right. on that coaching staff. It is, yes, the optics, John.
It's a bad look.
The optics right. are not great as far as that goes. All right, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010, anything you want to react to that we've been discussing this morning, Mike Smith, rumored, reportedly, the top candidate for the Jags. We thought he was a top candidate regardless coming into the weekend. Whether he, in fact, is the top candidate will be determined. We'll find out when we know. I mean, and that seems rather obvious. But as we mentioned, we saw Dave Caldwell this morning. Didn't look like there's any rush to announce anything. We don't even know if they've, you know,
sure.
offered anybody. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly how that goes. Let's say you interview six candidates, five or six guys. then do you just go, okay, you sit around, this is the top, you rank them in the order, and then you go to the first guy and say, here's what we'd be willing to pay you, or how interested are you in taking the job?
Well, and they just finished up, Saturday. So you would think, take a day to let it percolate. You talk amongst yourself. You make sure you're not making a quick trigger decision, all those things. But, yeah, at some point you go back and offer a job.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting what different candidates look for, I think, too. And we don't know what any of these candidates are looking for. And whoever they hire, I'm sure they'll tell you what a great opportunity it was. They're very excited to work with whatever it is. But we saw the report that Josh McDaniels has San Francisco at the top of his wish list. And that's a team that I believe they're one of the three that had scheduled an interview with McDaniels over the weekend along with the Jaguars. And part of the reason was, A, they have the second pick in the draft, so they're in position to get an impact player right away. B, he feels like he, and maybe really this should be A, he feels like he has more personnel control if he goes there, because I think Trent Baalke is on his way out the door.
Right, they're looking for a GM.
Right, so he, and he would have,
with more, sure.
He might have some say as to who that GM would be, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would if he gets hired before the GM, which it doesn't, I doubt McDaniels would, because it looks like McDaniels is going to have a deep playoff run. You're not going to hire him before that. But if it's agreed upon, which would probably happen before the Super Bowl, you would certainly think he would be able to push things.
Like, who are the GMs that you could see working with eye to eye, right? That you believe would have a similar philosophy, something along those lines.
You would think that would come into play.
And if you're a team that is like San Fran, I think from the outside looking in, most people look at that as one of the least attractive openings, maybe second only to Buffalo.
Right.
Right? Because, you know, it's a great city. San Francisco is a great city, but at the same time, they've got a lot of issues with the organization.
Sure.
And, you know, they don't have a quarterback.
On the other hand, they're not an incredibly long time removed from being pretty dominant.
No, they're not.
So, and it is a traditional franchise. So you could see how it would be an appealing job, but it seems to me the talent here in Jacksonville as strong, certainly.
I think for me, and you may look at me and say I'm crazy because the numbers are not that far apart, I feel better about your chances to win right now with Blake Bortles than I would with Blaine Gabbert or Colin Kaepernick. All right? They all have their inconsistencies. But an aspiring head coaching candidate may look at that as a negative and say, I'd rather have the clean slate.
Right.
You're like, I know that Gabbert and Kaepernick are not the answer, and I don't even have to mess around with a year trying to figure out if they are the answer or not.
Right.
So it could be more attractive to say, hey, I think I may see something in Blake that I think I've got a better chance to win in the short term with that guy based on what's on these rosters, but another guy may look at it and say that's a detriment to me taking the job.
And if it's McDaniels, he may be coming in with the mandate – wherever I go, I'm trading for Jimmy Garoppolo.
It may be.
I have no idea, but that could be, if he perceives it as a clean slate there, then who knows? Maybe they're telling him, we can give up the farm for your quarterback. And
You know, we say that. We don't know how he feels about Garoppolo.
Right.
And the reason that comes to mind is Doug Marrone coached Ryan Nassib at Syracuse.
Right.
And the whole narrative was he's going to take him. I think it was the fourth overall pick, Tony, was it, that Buffalo had
something
at the
like
time?
That.
That
yeah.
was a deal. Yeah, right.
Right. He knows Nassib. Well, yeah, he does know Nassib.
Right.
Which may be the reason why he'd be the last guy to take him. You just don't know.
Right. You can get him wherever he goes this offseason.
And narratives tend to start that way, and you just don't know. And narratives started this morning with Mike Smith. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's sort of in the Twitter age. These things build, ebb, and flow by the hour rather than by the day.
And it may turn out to be Mike Smith, but until it is, I don't think we have to lock in on that. So let's say it's McDaniels. Let's say you're convinced that Josh McDaniels is the top candidate, the right fit for you, and there's mutual interest from McDaniels. But McDaniels says, I only want to come there if you're willing to trade something of significance for Jimmy Garoppolo. Are you on board with that? Do you think, or do you think the Jaguar organization would be, if you clearly identify, say, this is the guy, this is the bright, young, upcoming mind, he's got all these wonderful ideas, how far do you go with that line of thinking?
If you absolutely are convinced in your heart of hearts, if right now they're all sitting around.
Got a coach? Do we have a coach?
Saying
no.
Okay. If they're all sitting around saying, absolutely, this is our guy, then you're on board with his plan.
I think you have to be, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can say, we love this guy, But we really don't like his vision for the quarterback position. So I think, again, we don't know what he's saying. But if that's his desire, then you got to go with it.
If you are, so if you're a GM, if you're the Jags or you're the 49ers, just try to put yourself in a neutral position here. And you love Josh McDaniels, and he says, you got a top five pick. That'll be enough in and of itself. Because to me, it would. I know they talk about a first and a fourth. Well,
yeah, top five would
top
be
top five pick is worth most first plus fourth round draft picks, right? You can't trade up from the late first round for the cost of a fourth. So that top five pick is, in fact, you might get something back with Garoppolo in a deal like that, right? Maybe you trade a top five pick and you get Garoppolo and a fourth rounder or something like that coming back. But if he came to you and said, let's do that. If the Jags really believed in him, do you think it ever gets to the point where, because of how Caldwell feels that he wants Blake to be part of the competition, right? Because once you go out there and say, I'm going to spend a top five, I'm going to trade the fourth pick in the draft, you're bringing in your next quarterback. Sure. You're not bringing in a guy just to compete for the position, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So do you think the Jags would entertain a scenario like that? A hypothetical scenario. We don't know if that it would even come to that. We don't know how McDaniels even feels about Garoppolo.
If they absolutely believe that McDaniels is the only coach they want, sure.
The only coach.
Well, I mean, at that point, if he becomes your number one guy,
right,
then, yeah, I think you go along with what he has to say, even if it's at the expense of Bortles, because if you don't agree with this vision, then I don't think he's your guy. I'm not trying to talk around it, but I think that's what it comes down to. Is your belief that this is absolutely the guy you want? Yeah. Well, then, if he wants this quarterback, let's go get him, because that's what he believes he has to have to win.
Right. I don't see that being a scenario that plays out here.
Right.
Do you think it's in your mind? We don't know. We're just going on some of these reports, but adding common sense to it, do you think it comes down to between Mike Smith and Doug Marrone? Or is there another candidate that you think is equally up there with them?
Right now, that's what it feels like to me, but I don't have a real good vibe for Shanahan right now. I just don't, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of reports, haven't heard a whole lot.
Right.
It feels like Marrone or Smith, but that's partially because that's what the reports have been for the last 24 hours.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I do know what you mean.
That's what it feels like to me, and I haven't heard anything to knock me off of that.
All right, we'll come back, and we asked you today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day, asked you to fill in the blank on this. If the Jaguars were to hire Mike Smith as their next full-time head coach, I would blank. It could be I would feel excited, I would feel terrible, I'd be disappointed, I would buy season tickets for the next 10 years, I would cancel my season tickets. Whatever your reaction would be, that's what we're looking for today. So we'll come back and look through some of those on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms, and pretty much everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meets or beats any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. As John Osier knows, you can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, JAX.com. Or better yet, stop by and see them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Sharks, and Jacksonville University. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Moss! Randy Moss is in for a touchdown!
Oh, Al Harris playing off. Then up on the route, and Randy Moss, without even really being able to run, as he shoots the moon to the fans here in Green Bay.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss. And it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting by Randy Moss.
That was, Ty, were you telling me that was 12 years ago today?
12 years ago today, a disgusting act by Randy Moss.
I mean, keep in mind, he pantomimed doing this. He didn't actually pull his pants down. And Joe Buck lost his freaking mind.
Yeah, a little bit of overreaction.
A little bit?
Yeah.
You think that that's the most disgusting thing that's happened on an NFL football field? You kidding me? I mean, wow. You ever moon anybody? I mooned plenty of people back in like college and stuff like that.
Sure.
Probably at least on a dozen occasions, I guarantee you.
The Packers fans moon them when they leave.
You're a serial mooner.
I may be a serial mooner.
Again, I was in Indy at the time, and Tony Dungy, who's a very, you know, obviously, everybody knows Tony Dungy's reputation. He walked into my office the next morning laughing because as a coach in Tampa, he'd obviously been to Green Bay many, many times. And he thought it was great because he had been, you know.
He'd seen how the fans do it to the opposing team.
Everybody
plus.
In the NFL who'd ever been in Green Bay understood it immediately. And it was not an issue whatsoever.
Except to Joe Buck.
Well, yeah, I guess. But it was, I'll never forget it because I figured that Tony would be offended. And he was like, nah, it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't have a problem with it.
Hey, certain things to me, I still think it's funny. I still moon my son every once in a while. I think it's, I do. Okay, you know what? It's something funny about that act to me. Just the way I don't think it's disgusting in the least bit. It's just funny. It's a butt, man. It's not, you know. I
mean, butts are always funny.
Butts can be funny. They're allowed to be funny from time to time. All right, today we asked you to fill in the blank on your reaction here if the Jaguars were to hire Mike Smith. Here's the way we phrase it. If the Jaguars hire Mike Smith to be their next head coach, I would blank. Uh-oh, Osher's scrambling out of here. He's got a very urgent call at the last second, so we'll find out what that's all about later on. Tony, what kind of reaction did we get on Twitter?
We had a bunch of reaction today. This may be the most reaction we've had in a while on a question. But JM said, I would be happy it's not Doug Marrone, but hope he hires a good OC. Isaiah said, pissed. I wanted Marrone or Shanahan. From Irish Jaguar, be fine with it. Good head coach. OC will be a critical hire, though. From Maddie, I would then go out and hire Mike McCoy to run the offense. Top five again said, I would not complain. From Colby, fall asleep at work because of how boring this hire would be. From Aussie Jag, initially be happy, then a little nervous, hoping the DC curse doesn't strike. From Eric, I would be okay with it. Fits the mold that most are looking for and was a good head coach. From Amish Jaguar, I would shrug and hope for the best. From Any Given Sunday, wait until we play a few games before making any sort of judgment. But his heart still says Coughlin. From Kyle, sigh, accept it, and hope for a good OC. From Bill, feel underwhelmed. From Alvaro, only sign him for 1 year with playoff contingency. From Senior Fuentes, hope he calls Mike McCoy to be the coordinator. From David, optimistically yawn, pessimistically sigh, and realistically hope the rest of the offseason is worth renewing season tickets. From Chad, I'd be happy with a Smitty hire. He's a proven winner as a head coach and probably wants to be in Jacksonville. From Grant, I like Smith, though I would feel meh if they hired him. From Jason, I will support him like I supported Gus. As long as he is here, he will be my coach. From Will, wait and see. From Jeff, I will be fine, but hope he hires a great OC. From Demetrius, disappointed. Enough with the pipeline candidates and bring in a fresh perspective. Quit playing it safe. From Daniel, assume Caldwell couldn't get an offensive coach to buy into Bortles. From Cameron, watch Patriots games from home rather than settle for a proven playoff loser, 1-4 in the playoffs. And from Jarrell, nod my head in acknowledgement, then ask who's the OC and what about our quarterback.
I do think you get to a certain point, no matter what, how successful you are, if you're not having the ultimate success, you get anxious, right, to find the next big thing. Like, I can't imagine how many years are you going to let Marvin Lewis coach the Bengals without winning a playoff game, right? I mean, ultimately, even making it to the playoffs every year is not acceptable.
Yeah, they still haven't won a playoff game since 1990.
So, but to me, I look at, like, for me, Tom Coughlin's my top choice, but I look at Mike Smith and I don't say, wow, terrible playoff record. That's not the first thing I think. I think, wow, got this team to a lot of playoffs, right? And, yes, then the next step is you'd like to win once you get in those playoffs. There's certainly that, but can we get to the point, John, where we have that good problem of having too many playoff unfulfilling playoff seasons.
Oh, to be complaining.
Right. Oh, to be right. And look,
oh, to be sitting here on a Monday after wild card weekend saying, man, that's the third wild card loss in a row.
If you think that any coach is going to come in here and just rip off, you know, three of the next five Super Bowls, then you're going to be disappointed with whoever they hire. That's just the way it is. And if that's your only standard.
But it's time for this organization to at least get back to that level first.
No question.
And then see where you go from there.
No question. Heck, let's have a winning season, right? I mean, there are a lot of levels
in between. Be disappointed with the last 2 weeks of the season you know, not getting there first.
You know, look, everyone, we ask, and that's the reason we ask is because there's so many different reactions to it. But people say, you know, that's not going to get me excited enough to renew season tickets. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But I don't know.
At this point, you need to win to get people excited.
Right.
There's going to be certain people. I mean,
certain people would be excited if Tom Coughlin were hired. Certain people would be excited if Josh McDaniels were hired, I think.
True.
Because he's worked with Brady. Beyond that, I don't think there's too many in this coaching pool that would excite people regardless of the name.
But I get that there are people right now who they want to see it before they believe it. And that's perfectly understandable. It's been too long since you won. There needs to be some winning around here.
Let's see. Here's some of the ones on Facebook. I'll just try to read the first sentence of a lot of these, the fill-in-the-blank portion. If the Jags hired Mike Smith as their next full-time head coach, I would, said Joey, wait and see before jumping to any assumption how I think it will pan out. Okay, Tommy said he would be thrilled. Loved him as a defensive coordinator, good record with the Falcons. Andre said it would be a good hire. OC will probably be a massive part of the pitch, and I expect someone proven very good. Zachary said, I would hope he brings someone like Matt Ryan with him. Otherwise, it's the same old, same old. Then you're not going to be happy. Again,
the third
you're not
comment in there is probably the most accurate.
Which was the OC
is a big part of the hire. And I would expect, judging by Mike's experience, that it would be an experienced OC. I would think that would be the MO.
Right. I would, you know, most of these guys, they say most assistant coaches, particularly ones who've been down that path before, they have a go-to list of guys that they would call, you know, and it depends on the circumstances in any given offseason. Those guys may not be available to
you. They usually have a list of three or four guys.
Right.
Because you know that some guys are going to be out of contract, not available, had the success, whatever. But, yeah, I would be surprised if Mike Smith's offensive coordinator was somebody where people didn't know him.
Let's see. Robert said, be surprising because I thought they'd settle for Marone. Aaron said, I would still hope they moved out of Florida. LOL. Hey, Aaron, go jump in a lake, honestly. I mean, why do you even follow the program if you hope the Jaguars move out of the state of Florida? I don't even know why you're following the program whatsoever.
Jacksonville's a terrible city for an NFL franchise.
He'd go move in. He'd be roomies with Trent. Apparently,
Aaron and Trent together again.
Did Jaguar Twitter make him walk those comments back a little bit? Did I hear? I heard something about that. I don't care enough about Trent Dilfer to find out if he retracted him.
If anybody can do it, it's Jaguars Twitter.
Fournette got him.
Talked to him for a column,
and he said, "I had no idea that my comments started that kind of firestorm."
Well, don't make idiotic comments.
Yeah,
then.
And then back off him.
Ah, Fournette backed off, huh?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
No, Trent Dilfer did. He talked to Trent.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
Trent Dilfer's like, wow, I didn't realize the backlash I would get. Well, if that's the only reason you're backing off of him, back off of him if you don't agree with him. If you feel that way and you don't like the heat you're taking, that's not reason to change your opinion because you're taking heat.
True that.
Right? Be a man about it, Trent. A lot of people say, hey, look, you know, it's split opinion. Some people will be happy. Some people wouldn't be happy.
It's going to be split opinion, any of the six.
Pretty much, right? Because there's certainly an anti-Coughlin contingent out there. There's an anti-everybody contingent out there. Don't count me as a big backer of McDaniels. When I hear McDaniels, and who knows if this reporting is accurate, wants more say in personnel decisions, I think this is a guy who traded back in the first round, thought taking Tim Tebow there was a good personnel decision. So I don't want that guy anywhere near the personnel decisions of this franchise. So come in and coach him, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll support whoever they hire until proven otherwise. But we'll see if it turns out to be Mike Smith. Dave Caldwell's not walking around here with a sense of urgency this morning.
Well, that doesn't mean
right. I don't mean to give the impression
it could be
that
1 o'clock.
Working hard.
You never know.
Right. It could be anything coming up later on. They've been interviewing plenty of candidates up until this point, and could be in a holding pattern or awaiting further interviews, as he told us this morning. So we'll find out when it all shakes out. John, we appreciate what do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
Wait. Hurry up and wait.
You know, the great coaching wait, 2017.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of where we're at right now. So, yeah. I mean, oh, a few things, but realistically waiting for the head coach to get out.
Locked in your plans to be in Houston for Super Bowl week?
Yeah, we'll be there. I believe it's Wednesday through Sunday morning.
Doing stuff on the website, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you when we're out there as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And our primary objective is the Tony Baselli watch.
Baselli watch.
Yeah, and it should be fun. I mean, I haven't been in Super Bowl in a while, 4 or 5 years. So I'm looking forward to going again.
I think if Pacelli were to get in, the Jags probably would play in the Hall of Fame game. Because when do you ever get, you know, other than their inaugural season, when do you get an opportunity that it aligns for the Jaguars to play there and just to get some new blood in there? I think Jaguar fan, are you kidding me? I think that ticket would be highly coveted.
It'd be a fantastic experience, fantastic trip.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, John Osier, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, check him out at Jaguars.com and on Twitter, simply at John Osier. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, who, by the way, Caldwell did jokingly say Joe Fortunato was an ex-coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have to say jokingly because somebody will go to Twitter immediately say, Dempsey said that Joe Fortunato will be the next head coach.
It would be great if it wound up on Pro Football Talk.
Wouldn't it? What's the most
mystery candidate?
Right, like they wouldn't know who Joe is, so they'd be like, "Yeah, exactly, mystery candidate Joe Fortunato." Not a lot known about him. We need to come up with something that was clearly absurd and see if we could still get
them. And somebody would say that they predicted it.
Oh, absolutely! of course, in the comments section. Told you right, and they would quote a tweet from 2012 or something like that. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Midday Chalk is coming up in just a few minutes, so stick around for that. Thanks again to Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Tomorrow, Jeff Lagerman in, Brent Martineau on Wednesday, Ryan O'Halloran on Thursday, David Garrard on Friday. Hopefully, we'll have a coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars sooner rather than later. For all of us here at Jaguars Today, live at Everbank, thanks for listening on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. Lunchtime just minutes away, and for the first time all week, I'm going to remind you that Dandy's a great option, whether it's lunch, whether it's breakfast, brunch, anytime you're hungry for food on the go. You're going to check out your kids' game on the weekend. Pack the cooler up with Dandy sandwiches, and all the parents and the kids will appreciate it, too. They've got great varieties. They've got something for everybody there, from my favorite, the tuna salad, to the classic Cuban, to the three-meat trio, and on and on and on. Dandy and the Anytime Deli line of sandwiches and subs have been feeding Jacksonville for over six decades now. Over 60 years, you don't stay in business and have as much success as Dandy has without doing it the right way. That's quality products, great ingredients, at a price you can afford. Always fresh, always delicious, and always puts a smile on your face because you're not wasting your lunch hour sitting in the drive-thru. Just pop in to your local Circle K or Kangaroo Express and head straight to the fresh case and pick out your favorite variety of Dandy or Anytime Deli sandwich or sub. Whenever you're hungry, make yours a Dandy today.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss.
You guys have a good day. Peace.